If you would please take your Bibles and let's turn together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians, for me personally, has been one of the go-to books for me personally in my own personal life. There's so many things that Paul wrote to this church concerning in both of his letters. And by the way, along with James, 1 and 2 Thessalonians are the earliest New Testament writings. They were the first to be written. The Gospels were written almost 20 years after 1 and 2 Thessalonians were written. And so it's an amazing thing when you realize that this is one of the earliest books as far as time, 49 A.D., whenever it was done. The book of Matthew, for instance, 66 A.D., whenever it was published, 68 for Mark and Luke. And so they're written with a group of people in mind that lived in northern Greece, very up-to-date city, pagan, of course, because that was the norm for Grecian cities. And the people that lived there, the Christians that were there, had been brought to the Lord through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and he wanted to encourage them. As a matter of fact, he gives us a little hint in chapter 2 that he wanted to go back very quickly after he had been there, and someone prevented him from going. Let's begin reading, please, at verse 17. It says, "But we, brethren, having taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again." Notice who hindered him. Satan hindered him. Don't believe this stuff that we don't have to do any battle with Satan. That's just utter nonsense. Here we are at this particular time, AD 49, which is approximate time where Paul is writing here. The Lord Jesus died in 33 AD. So we're about 17, 18 years after the Lord Jesus Christ has died. And the early church, they're battling Satan. Satan prevented him from going. You say, well, how can that be? An apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, hindered by Satan to return back to Thessalonica, because Satan is the enemy of Christ. And yes, the cross work of Christ has rendered him, as far as God is concerned, destroyed. Your declaration's already been done. The cross work is done. But he is still allowed, in this time period of grace, he's still allowed to conduct himself. He's still the accuser of the brethren, and he's still at work. As a matter of fact, he's going to mention him again when you get into the early verses of chapter 3. But he said, I would have come several times. He's only been gone, by the way, for a few months. He's down in Athens when he writes this letter. He says, I want to get back up to you, but Satan has just, everywhere we've gone, we've had to face him and not allowed to go back. Verse 19, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. He had gotten some very encouraging words. He had sent Timothy on ahead. Paul couldn't go himself, but he sent Timothy to check on this young church to see how they were doing. And what he was concerned about was the pressures of the culture that were teeming around them constantly. The pressures of the Judaizers, the Jewish element that was there in Thessalonica, saying, you Christians have got it wrong. You've got to follow the law. You've got to keep the law in order to be able to be saved. And then they had the pressure of the culture all around them, which was corrupt. And he was concerned for these young Christians that they would not succumb to the tempter. Let's begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now there's a word right there, afflictions. Thlipsis is the Greek word, and it means pressures. Pressures. It's oftentimes translated tribulation, afflictions, trouble. That's another word that oftentimes. But the word itself means to press hard. Every time I think about this particular word, I think about that old 150-year-old paper cutter that we've got down in the print shop. It's a hand press. So you put the paper inside there, and then you turn the handle on it, and it presses the paper down very tightly. Then you take that big lever, and you bring it down with the blade on it. You cut the paper, you take it back up, and then you have to uncrank the handle on that to get it to pull back up so you can pull your paper back out. Now, if you don't put the pressure on that paper, when the blade hits it, the paper behind it will start spreading backwards, and you won't have a straight cut. So you have to crank it down. So you have to put cardstock below and above so it doesn't mess up your paper and put big press marks in it. You put that on there, you put it down tight, and you're able to make your cut. That's the idea behind the word thlipsis. It means to put the pressure on. Do you realize, Christian? I think you do. How much pressure we're under all the time. Pressures to conform to the culture. Pressures to fit in with some theological thinking. Pressures to follow this group and that group. And just the pressure of life itself. Dealing with all the struggles and things that happen in this world, we are constantly under pressure. Mabel reminds me constantly about I need to go down and pick up some candies for her. All right? She has her favorites. Her Smarties are her favorite candy. She just perked up right there. She comes to me and she says, "Smarties? Did you get the Smarties?" And I haven't done very good at that. As a matter of fact, Winn-Dixie did not have Smarties today, so I picked up a bag of some other candy. I'm going to surprise her tonight with that. But as I'm going into Winn-Dixie, I meet a lady that I have known for 40-something years. 35 years ago, we sat in a courtroom together. We were both called to testify in a divorce case of someone that we knew. We were mutual friends. That's where I first met her. So I saw her today. I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" I called her by her first name. I'm not going to say it because you might know who she is. And I said, "How are you doing today? I haven't seen you in a while." And she looked at me and she put her hands on her hips like this. "You don't have enough time for me to tell you how my day's going." Have you ever had that kind of response from somebody? You know, I was just going to say, "Hey, how are you doing?" and talk for just a little bit, but buddy, I got it. And I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you, let me encourage you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness." I said, "Call upon the grace of God right now." And she started to walk away and she said, "Yeah, I need to do that." And she went on to her car. Now, I didn't get the idea that she really was going to do that. She was having a rough day. She came out of Winn-Dixie empty-handed. She had no bag. So what I figured was that in addition to all the other bad things that had gone wrong today, they didn't have what she wanted at Winn-Dixie. They didn't have my Smarties. But whenever I went out the door and I met a couple other people that I know from Milton, I didn't unload on them. "We didn't have Smarties. I can't believe how my day is going. You don't have enough time to hear all my problems and troubles." I think Smarties would be like down here on life's issues. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
That would be pretty low. Now, Mabel, different thing. Mabel, Smarties, that's way up here. Okay? But for me and all the things of life and so forth, it's not very big. But we can allow the troubles and the pressures of life to get to us. And that was one of the things that concerned Paul about the church of Thessalonica. He mentions this word twice. He mentions it first in verse 3, this word thlipsis, and he mentions it again in verse 4. Notice, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer thlipsis." Same word. "Even as it came to pass, and we know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter," Who is that? It's Satan. He's the tempter. Have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. He was concerned about their young Christian life, that they were not succumbing to the pressures that were constantly on them to conform to the world, to conform to religious notions of some particular group, to conform to how the world fixes their problems. Do you realize there's a whole cottage industry of how the world deals with its problems, and most of it's anti-biblical? But you can be pressured. You can be pressured by segments of society to conform with a certain way of thinking about this particular area and a certain way of thinking about how you deal with this problem over here. And you can be pressured constantly. And as a result, the tempter may gain a victory in your life. Paul was concerned about that. He wanted them to know. And by the way, he got some good news from Timothy. As you read on, Timothy reports back to Paul that these people were growing. Notice this, please. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have a good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. He got some good news. They had not succumbed to the pressures. They had not given in to all the expectations of Judaism that many of the Jews had left, trusting in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, leaving behind all. You know, that's a hard thing to do, to leave behind all the religion you've been taught since you were just a little child. It's an amazing thing. I have spoken to people who are trying to hang on to Roman Catholicism and try to mix it with Christianity. And a lot of people say there's no difference between Roman Catholicism and Christianity, but there's a huge difference. It's either the church that redeems or it's Christ alone. I mean Christ alone. Without Mary, without the church, without the Pope and all the other figures, the saints that they depend on. We have Jesus Christ alone. And there are some people that just can't let go of it because that's what I was taught when I was a child. It's a difficult thing, but you know what? God can change all that. God can remove all that. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I imagine that some of you could say here, I was brought up in a false religion. I was brought up in a wrong religion, and I had to leave all that behind and trust in Jesus Christ alone, and His grace just flooded my soul, and I was able to get through that and be delivered from that. And that was the good news that Paul got concerning the church at Thessalonica. I want us to encourage ourselves tonight. Notice verse 7, please. Therefore, brethren, with this good news that he's received from Timothy, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you and all our, there's that word affliction. Here's the third time, philipsis, pressures and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. Paul was encouraged and strengthened because these people had overcome the pressures. You know, I mentioned about the cottage industry of how we deal with things. This whole world is battling, you know, depression, discouragement. There are bodies of Christians that walk around angry all the time with certain political parties. They're just angry all the time at them. Listen, let me just tell you something. You're succumbing to the pressure. Do you realize that God is still on the throne? That God is doing exactly what He said was going to happen? And He's allowing it to take place? What did He say about the end times? Yea, perilous times shall come. Hello? And what did he tell Timothy to do? In the context of that, he said, stand in the faith that's been delivered unto you. He didn't say, hate all those people. There are people that actually hate other people. They hate Democrats. They just hate them. Let's guess what? We're no better. Well, I'm a Republican. Or I'm an independent. All right? It doesn't matter. We're sinners. That was an awful quiet amen. 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 Yeah. Let me tell you something. Be careful. Be careful. In this political year, it's easy to get sidetracked and start hating other people. What do they need? They need to be saved. And they need an active witness in their life to reach them with the gospel. My point is tonight, and I hope maybe I can develop this a little bit further. Paul was concerned about these young Christians in Thessalonica, and he knew the pressures that were on them to conform. Conform to the religious expectations of the Judaizers that were there in that city. To conform to all the pressures of the culture of Thessalonica. The culture of Greece, the philosophy and their gods. All these pressures that were on them. Just the normal trouble of life. He was concerned about them. And you know what? In their young Christian life, they had done the right thing. They had done the right thing. They had not succumbed to the tempter. You and I need to realize that there are people in this world that need Jesus Christ. They don't need another person hating them. They need Jesus Christ. Stop right now. Think about the people that were involved in your life that were influential in you coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Just stop and think about that. I'm going to give you a few seconds. I think about all my teachers that I had at Santa Rosa Christian School. My Sunday school teacher, my first one, was Mrs. Hall at Baghdad. Praying for a little toe-headed boy that toted a lot of switchings because he couldn't behave himself and sit still in church. But you know what? Mrs. Hall loved me, and she gave me the gospel. Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs, Mr. Woods. I thank Mr. Woods every time I talk to him. I said, Mr. Woods, I know that we were a pain in the neck on all those trips that we used to go on. We rode with him for 3 weeks one time, and we went up the East Coast playing our horns, and we did stupid stuff. I jumped into a Holiday Inn pool, and I missed. Busted my arm all up. The finger thing, you remember that, Roger? I had a goose egg on the side where I hit the concrete. I don't know what I did. I was just being 14, 15 years old. I jumped in and I thought I was going to hit water and I hit the side of the pool. I crawled out with one arm to get up there and I said, Mr. Woods, I think I broke my arm. So I went to the hospital where my dad was born. I didn't know it at the time. Up near Perry, Ohio, we were up there at Mentor. At the church up there, staying at the Holiday Inn there, and I went up there and they examined it. Oh, it's not broke, but boy, did it hurt. And I had to hold my trumpet and play with this big old goose egg sticking out right there. I said, Mr. Woods, I know that you went to bed every night saying, Lord, we're never going to do this ever again. And Dr. Hobbs said, yes, you are. You're going to go to South Florida for 2 weeks. And we did it all over again, playing our horns and so forth. We were a little more tame that time. But I thanked Mr. Woods in a recent conversation. I said, Mr. Woods, I just want you to know, thank you. Because he had a profound effect on my life. And I think of all the other teachers. Mrs. Pepperd, I broke her in and right up fresh out of college. Yeah. And she probably said, I don't want to be a teacher, but she's going to be retiring here for too long. After all those years, 1976 was your first year, if I recall. 75, 76, my sixth grade year. And she's been at it the whole time. And boy, the influence that she's had in my life. We can go down the list of all the people that influenced our lives. They loved me, and they didn't have to. and probably wish they had. We've got to get back to thinking. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Paul reached into a wicked community with the gospel. The wicked community, pagan community of Thessalonica, and preached the gospel. And one here, one there, one here, one there, trusted in Jesus Christ. And it was real. And he wanted to get back after he had left. He'd gone to Athens and he wanted to get back and he couldn't hear, get word about what's going on in Thessalonica. So he finally sent Timothy ahead to find out, how are they doing? Are they standing true? Are they doing what's right? Are they honoring the Lord? Or have they succumbed to the pressures? And Timothy said, thumbs up. They're doing good. Do I hear a praise the Lord? Yeah. That's what God desires from us. And we've got to be willing to be the Paul, to reach into some community. Maybe it's family. Maybe you've got a community of family that are lost. Are you going to be the one to reach in there? Oh, not me. I'm not going to be the one to do that. You should be. You should be. You've benefited from the love of Christ. You've benefited from the grace of Christ. Well, let's get in there and let's start witnessing to them. Let's start seeing them come to faith in Jesus Christ. Or reaching into our business community and saying, there's some folks that I know in there that need Jesus Christ. And I need to be the one to tell them. This is so important, folks. There's not much time. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The rapture is soon. I don't know when or where, but I know this. There are desperate people that need Jesus Christ. And it's my job to tell them. But it's also your job to tell them. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us to take up the cause that Paul so gladly took up in reaching into this pagan community of Thessalonica, pagan in philosophy, pagan in their worship of strange gods, pagan in their mixture of Judaism and paganism. He reached in there with the gospel, and the Holy Spirit of God drew precious souls, and what a change took place in their hearts and lives. Lord, help us not to give in to the pressures around us that say, don't witness, don't say anything, don't rock the boat. Help us to get on fire for Thee and to be faithful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.